fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Hounds of heaven. Jesus loves you and is there for you. Welcome into David O'Gray Show. Off code and unscripted. Got four big things for you this morning. The first is I'll have a big announcement coming up. The second is a comment from the readings of Mass today. Third, did Pope Francis recently become a Catholic? Did he like convert to the Catholic Church? And fourth, Satan is speaking through Joe Biden. Got a comment on just this whole really just attempt to just reset the world into this being this genderless, this binary hellhole. So that's the show for today. Thanks for coming in to David O'Gray Show. Appreciate having you in. Thanks for inviting me into your life at this moment. But first, let's get to the sponsors. This show is being sponsored by Aura, who's the new standard in digital security. Drop down in the comment box below. You click on the link. That's aura.com/David O'Gray. Get 40% off if you join. But first, you get a 14-day free trial. And I'll tell you some more about that later. But yeah, support the sponsors. I appreciate it. And also, the sponsors are you, whose names are shown below. Those who have joined me on Patreon, patreon.com. Become a sponsor of what I'm doing. $10 membership or less. So appreciate you guys there. Thanks for being patrons of the show, being supporters of the show. So let's get into the big announcement first. So here's the big announcement. So I'm no longer on Guadalupe Radio Network. That show ended, so I'm no longer there. My last show on Guadalupe Radio Network, the Wednesday show I was doing every Wednesday, ended last Wednesday. I think it's episode number 55, so that was the last one. So what happened? Well, I guess we should preface this, go back a little bit in time to give a full picture of what's going on. So back in 2020, when in the 2020 when I first was offered an opportunity to come on Guadalupe Radio Network, I had the David O'Gray Show there. What was going on? Well, Guadalupe Radio Network, a lot was going on. You know, that was election year, and Guadalupe Radio Network, they realized that some of the content that they were getting from EWTN was not consistently Catholic enough, right? That there was some issue with some of the content they were getting. So Guadalupe Radio Network decided to start some of their own original programming so that would not be an issue in the future. Okay. So, and so that was going on. And then also what I had realized, right, when I was approached to offer, you know, to do a show on Guadalupe Radio Network, what was going on, what I thought, I might do this, was that the Morning Glory show, which had Monsignor Pope and had Deacon Harold Burke Severs and Gloria Purvis on it, that show was canceled by EWTN, right? Which means that there were like no Black Catholics ever, no Catholics who are Black on any national platform for EWTN, right? And so that's, I think, really the main reason why I said, okay, you know, I should take this offer up of Guadalupe Radio Network to do a David O'Gray Show on their platform, because I had been complaining since like 2011 about the dearth of there being representation of Catholics who are Black on national platforms, especially in the United States. And you know, some people may push back on that, like, well, why is that important? Well, of course, representation is always important, all right? For the same reason why there's never been a president aside from George Washington, who had never met a president in his life. Sometimes people need to see a thing that they identify with to be that thing, right? Just on a base human level, humans have to know that to aspire to be something, they have to see someone do it. And it helps when someone like them are doing that thing. So That's the reason why it's always good to have representation of all types of people, especially in a country like the United States, where, you know, it's a bunch of different people, cultures, and things like that. To have representation in the Catholic space of all people from all backgrounds and cultures, to let people know, oh, I didn't know Black people were Catholic. Maybe I should look into this, right? So that's something I've been complaining about since 2011. So reason why I say, yeah, you know, I think I have a responsibility to go on Guadalupe Radio Network and do the show now that there aren't any Catholics who are Black on a national platform. So there's that, you know, like, how do we know a bird? Like, how does a bird know that it can fly, right? Unless it sees another bird flying, right? Maybe there's something instinctual about the bird. Like, oh man, I'm created to fly. But how does the bird really know unless it sees another bird flying? So got on Guadalupe Radio Network, did the Guadalupe, get the David O. Gray Show in there for over like a year and like 3 months, right? Which is about a year longer than a lot of people thought I was going to be doing that show, probably including my wife, right? You know, not because like, you know, just because, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of people don't like me, right? Especially those who are liberals in the church, right? Especially liberal Blacks. As much as, you know, Black liberal Blacks talk about, oh, we're not a monolithic people, we're not monolith, we all don't think alike, they always enforce everyone thinking alike, right? Because if you don't think alike, if you aren't monolith, you're called Uncle Tom, a coon, you know, you're pushed out, right? So, you know, so from the even before I took the show, you know, they were writing articles about me, all types of hate, and it continued on. Even some nun in Texas was, you know, writing the network about me. You know, he's not Black enough, right? He doesn't say the right things, all this type of stuff. So, but Joe McClain over at Guadalupe Radio Network, I mean, he really had my back from like the very beginning. I mean, he had my back from the very beginning, and anytime people, you know, all that hate would come, you know, he had my back. So there was no issue there about the network pushing me off. I think what the network found out, I think by just listening to their listeners, is that the listeners wanted something consistent every day, right? Because they created a number of original programs, you know, Monday this, Wednesday that, Thursday that, Friday that. It's like this inconsistent thing at a 4 p.m. time slot, Central Time. So they decided to go with something consistent in that time slot, which the listeners really deserve. But I really have nothing bad to say about Guadalupe Radio Network. I mean, definitely still support them. You'll still hear me sometimes on the Catholic Drive Time Show. That's the morning show with Joe McClain, Adrian Francesca, and Rudolph Carlos. So I had a really good time there. You know, my favorite episode there on Guadalupe Radio Network on the David O. Gray Show was, I think, episode 15. Like, no, that's the fans' favorite, right? Episode, I liked it too, but I think that's the one. I look at my podcast ratings, that's the like the number one, you know, show that transitioned into the podcast platform. It was talking about Dominican spirituality, which I love, and also Sacred Betrayals. So that was the number one show, but for the fans, for the viewers, you guys. But the number one show for me is probably episode 53, which I just did. And that was on the liturgical life of St. Joseph. So anytime I could do like theology, and especially liturgical theology, you know, that's my thing. So that's my favorite show. So I look back on that time with like some real fondness about my time near that year and 3 months. So I don't know. Will I ever do radio again? I don't know. But that's why we're here. That's why we're doing a David L. Gray Show, Off Code and Unscripted. I kind of thought something like this might be coming down the pike. So that's when I started this new format, Off Code and Unscripted. And so here we are doing this show. And so we're going to be doing this every day. Well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 7 a.m. Central Time. And so that's what we're doing. So, you know, the readings for today, readings at Mass for today are really interesting. So you got the first reading is coming from the book of Daniel, is chapter 13. several different verses. The lectionary is, you know, they're going from 1 to 9 and 15 to 17. It's a long section that you hear in the mass readings today. And then the gospel reading is coming from John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20. And then the response to Psalm number 23 is, even though I walk through the valley, the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. So what the gospel readings are doing today is that the first story from Daniel is one of those stories when I first started reading the Bible, right, after I became Catholic. It's really evidence that this is the inspired word of God, right? Because it isn't a bunch of just roses and fairy tales in his book. That these are some very dark stories about some very bad people. But it shows, through it all, shows the hand of God, how God truly does. It's a love story of his love and mercy for his people. So the first story is coming from Daniel, in a story about a God-fearing woman named Susanna, who is trapped in a situation. She's a married woman. She's trapped in a situation where these two elders, these judges of the people, trap her in a situation where they're pressing upon her to basically rape her. In their words that they say, as soon as her maids left, you know, she's in this private room, she's bathing, they're hiding out, and they have been lusting for her for a while, right? So they've already fallen into adultery in their heart. Now they're ready to act on it. And so she's bathing, her maids leave, and they jump out the bushes and they say, look, the garden doors are shut and no one can see us. Give in to our desires and lie with us. If you refuse, we will testify against you that you dismiss your maids because a young man was here with you. So they're saying, give in to our desires or we're going to accuse you of adultery. And basically people are going to believe us because we're the judges. And that's what happened. She did scream for help, and they spun a story. She comes to trial and everyone there believes the judges because they're the people of no ill repute, right? They have the reputation, they have the standing, they have the power. So people believe her, and now it's time for her to be condemned to death. But while she's being marched to death, Daniel, a young Daniel, comes in, eventually the prophet Daniel, and he's convicted by the Lord that this woman would be innocent. So they go back to have a trial because he senses, the spirit convicts him, that these judges are lying to the people. And sure enough, he traps them in their own words. Their stories don't match up, right? And so eventually they're the ones that are put to death. And then in the gospel reading is also another story about judgment. And this, yesterday during the fifth Sunday at Lent, we heard about Jesus, the woman being brought before him, being accused of adultery, and everyone, you know, the Pharisees are testing him. You know, the law says that this woman must be put to death. You know, what do you say, right? And so Jesus is there. You know, it's the verses when he's writing in the sand with his finger, which I think complicates a lot of people. A lot of people trying to understand, oh, you know, what was he writing? I heard the pastor at my church yesterday during mass say, you know, a lot of ink has been wasted on this. And he said Jesus was doodling, right? Now, I don't think it's not as complicated as people say, but again, it's not as simple as, you know, Jesus was doing nothing, right? The scriptures are not, they don't talk about meaningless things such as doodling, right? I think that's really diminishing what is going on. I think it's rather simple, right? Jesus is God. He's the second person of the Holy Trinity. He's here. They're asking him to enforce the commands. And the last time God took his finger and wrote, right, in stone or sand, if you will, is when he's writing the commands. So here is God again, taking his finger and looking as though he's writing the commands. But what he's doing, he's interpreting the commands, because he is the judge. He is the law himself. So I think it's rather simple. That's what Jesus is doing. This is a play on God giving the commands, but this is God giving understanding of the commands, right? But now, you know, then the next day here, we have this gospel that comes in And Jesus, you know, is saying, you know, they come to him, you know, Jesus spoke again. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, right? So there's this conflict with the Pharisees again, and they're trying to put him to death. But what Jesus is teaching here is that their judgment of him is false because they do not know the Father, right? That he gives testimony about himself, but his testimony is also backed because he has the testimony of the Father, right? And so they're saying his testimony cannot be verified because he testifies about himself. So there's this play here in a lectionary between the first reading and second reading about verification of the testimony of the witness. So, but I think there's really three takeaways that we can really take from this and really consider for the rest of the day today. That the first is that when people judge, people tend to judge for the purpose of condemnation. So there's two types of judgments we can offer, right? We can judge actions. We just look at a fruit of the tree and make a judgment without condemnation, right? We just look at the thing itself and make just an objective or subjective judgment. Like, this is what it is based upon what we see without any ends attached to it. But then there's another type of judgment where we do attach your ends to the judgment, that we judge it and then we say, therefore, this must happen. So when we do that, we begin to judge in condemnation, right? Which the scripture calls us not to do. We can judge. Jesus calls us to judge things as they are, the fruit of the tree, but we should not attach it therefore to it, because our judgments are always limited, right? Because we can only judge by things we can perceive. We can only judge largely by the senses, you know, what we can see. So our senses are always limited. They're always lacking. And because of that sense, our judgment is always lacking. So, I mean, we could consider all the innocent people whose lives have been ended through the death penalty throughout the world, even today. People are being killed because they're Christians. People are being killed right now in abortion mills throughout the country because someone judged them unworthy to live, right? So our judgment is always lacking because we don't judge like God. So I think that's the first takeaway. The second takeaway is that when people judge for the purpose of condemnation, that it says more about them. It says more about the person judging than it says about God. Right? It says more about them than it says about the person that they're judging. So when we judge for the purpose of condemnation, we are not. We bring more condemnation upon ourselves than we bring upon the person in the end. And the third thing is that the righteous have nothing to fear, right? The righteous have nothing to fear in man's limited judgment because, first of all, the death that man has to offer is not even a real death, right? They can only kill the body, but not the soul. So it's not even a real thing. It's something we should not even fear, right? And this is what the martyrs, the saints have discovered. And second, that God is our defender. Right? We have nothing to fear of man's judgment because God is our defender. He's our advocate. He's our true judge. So that's the readings for the day. And I think that's really some key takeaways that we can glean from that. And like I said in opening with a big announcement, you know, people always judging you and saying weird things about you. Things aren't true. And I think if you're an adult, right? Of course, I think this happens more in high school, right? People saying weird things about you. But what happens in high school, you know, it happens with adults. I mean, if you've been on a workplace, you've ever been on a job site, you've ever worked in cubicles or on assembly line or whatever. You know, people talk about other people, right? And sometimes you may be going through this now, and that people may be saying things about you and may want to condemn you for things that are absolutely false. But again, those people we really ought to pray for because they're judging us without truly knowing us. And second, we should not fear any judgment that they have to bring because our true judge is God. So I want to talk to you about this. What's going on with Pope Francis? I mean, did Pope Francis have like a conversion recently? So, and this is, let me play you this. This is a clip that that I had on Christy Knowles was on my last show. And let me bring a clip up here. On my last show on Guadalupe Radio Network, and we were talking about looks like I don't have a clip. But yeah, we were talking about how Pope Francis, you know, recently he consecrated Russia, right? And he also just been doing a lot of like some real Catholic things lately. And recently, what else? He's pushing back against the German Senate. So, but recently they came out, actually, the Vatican headquarters have pushed back against that whole thing. Like Pope Francis, he met with the Polish bishops and he had, he was talking about, they were telling him about how the German sentence is really off path. It's really destroying the faith. And apparently, they said in meeting that Pope Francis was, you know, he was on board with that. He was saying that, like, he agreed. Like, yeah, the German Senate is really destroying the church. You know, it's really messing things up. So that's what had came out of, you know, that meeting, right? That private meeting with the Polish bishops. And but then, you know, so that was initially like some good news. Oh, Pope Francis, he seems to be like really Catholic lately, right? You know, with the consecration of Russia and then the pushback of German synods. And then just recently, I think was a Friday, it came out from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops that Pope Francis has the new Bishop of Columbus. The new Bishop of Columbus, he names, Pope Francis named Father Earl K. Fernandez, a priest of the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, to be the Bishop of Columbus. And says the appointment was publicized in Washington on April 2nd by Archbishop Christopher Pierre, the Apostolic Nuncio of the United States. And so think about this bishop, this new Bishop of Columbus, Ohio, is that he's an exorcist. And he also celebrates the traditional Latin Mass. So that was like three things. If we, you know, if we consider the whole thing that Pope Francis said in Poland about the German pushing back against the German bishops, I mean, that's three things that seems to be like, wow. I mean, this is quite a turnaround for Pope Francis. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, I mean, people were saying that, oh man, this guy isn't Pope. He's the anti-Pope. You know, friends of mine like Patrick Confirm were making these legal cases that can never really be adjudicated, right? That he was never really elected. I mean, it's an interesting point, but it can never really be adjudicated. About Pope Benedict XVI never really resigned. So people were coming out with all these things. Like, but then all of a sudden, I mean, Pope Francis has made this conversion to the Catholic Church, right? So is something interesting to consider. I mean, is Pope Francis, is the Pope Catholic now? And so we'll see how it all turns out. We'll definitely see how it all turns out, whether this is a legitimate conversion or not. But I mean, there is some hope there, right? Because I always thought that the only case that we could really make against Francis was that he has to be legitimate elected Pope, right? That's my position. He's legitimately elected. No one at the conclave that elected him has recanted their vote. And we have to be honest about the fact that it's never going to be adjudicated that he wasn't the Pope. I mean, we have to be honest about that. So I think the only position that we might be able to hold is that he is Pope, but he's not operating the Petri ministry. There have been no evidence for the past 6 or so years, ever since he's been Pope, that he's actually been operating the Petri ministry, right? We don't see the fruits. We don't see him fulfilling the three duties of the Pope, right? So, which are to really the main one is to be a source of unity for the bishops, to proclaim the word of God, and to be the shepherd of God's people, right? But we don't see him fulfilling those three duties, especially being a source of unity. But we got the clip up of Christine, so I play you this clip now. And so I want to talk to you about this as well, that, Christine, just 2 weeks ago, you had media personalities making like legal cases that can never be adjudicated, that Benedict the 16th didn't really resign, that Pope Francis the anti-pope, and other people were saying that Francis is the anti-pope because he does bad things and says heretical stuff. But now, he's consecrated Russia, and recently, he's been pushing back against the German Senate. I mean, he seems to be like a legitimate pope now, right? I really hadn't seen a comeback like this since Jesus rose again on the third day. I mean, he's pope again, Christine. What happened?
Well, we covered it live, we covered the consecration live, and I personally found it to be very moving. I knelt at my desk in the studio. I was praying the prayer along with the Pope. And he got to the moment where he consecrated humanity, and he mentioned specifically Russia. And he's really the first pope to have done so. I mean, we've had multiple popes in the past kind of attempt this consecration, but he's really the first one to actually fulfill this request of naming Russia. And I thought it was a beautiful thing. I mean, I think I truly believe that it will usher in many graces and blessings for the world. You mentioned the German synodal path. Just like a couple of days after this happened, we find out that the Pope is actually distancing himself from this. And I read that. I'm like, that is a minor miracle, because this is a Pope who's actually been pushing it for years, and then suddenly he's like now backing off. I'm like, wow, is this the first sign of maybe some of the blessings coming forth? And then the next day I read about Russia and Ukraine, and Russia has decided to, after negotiations, drastically decrease their military presence in Kyiv. I'm like, let's keep praying. I just think it's going to bring good. I do. I think it's going to bring good to the world, and I think that that we should rejoice in this.
I was really happy about, because I've always been critical of some things that Pope Francis has said and done, but kudos to him. If he's having some sort of conversion or really getting graces needed to fulfill the ministry of Peter, God bless him. He's we need
Yeah,
that
and
as a
we
church.
do. And you know what? And I know that people have been praying too that that consecration will actually bring about the conversion of the Pope. Hey, why not?
Why
We
not?
pray
Why
for
not?
that.
Yeah, so that was last week. So like I said, since that time, the headquarters, the Vatican, has pushed back against Pope Francis. So there's still the issue of what Pope Francis says privately versus what headquarters then comes out and repudiates, right? So we really don't know what was said to the Polish bishops, whatever. We have to believe them. But then, there's still the code, right, of Pope Francis staying on code with the trajectory of what's going on. So that's all I know about that. All right, so sorry about those tech difficulties. I'll be back tomorrow with the whole Joe Biden gender dysphoria thing that's going on in the country. But let me get to a couple of questions off ahead. The first one's by this Ansel Carter the second. He said he's raised Roman Catholic, baptized, had communion, also was an altar boy, and says today he's convinced that the Catholic Church is the cult of Dagon. Look at the symbolism and hypocrisy. All right, let's just pick this apart real quick. And so I hope that you're still here and that you read this. First of all, so you're saying you're raised Catholic and you're baptized and you're altar boy. So I take it you're a cradle Catholic, and obviously you've never knew anything about what the Catholic Church teaches and believes. So let's just deal with this real quick here. And so, first of all, the Catholic Church is not Roman. The Catholic Church only calls itself one Holy Catholic and Apostolic. Roman is, we could say, it's not even Roman. We talk about liturgical rite. We could call it the Rite of Rome, but we call it the Latin Rite, right? So the church is not Roman. She's Catholic. She's one Holy and Apostolic. So deal with that. Secondly, you're saying that you never, it's not that you don't believe what the Catholic Church teaches. What you rather believe are your own ideas. You rather believe yourself than believe Christ in his church. That's your problem. Your problem here is not what the church believes. Your problem here is one of pride. That's your problem. And I say this in a matter of just judging without condemnation. I mean, you're exactly where I was back in my 20s, right? I thought, you know, I was smarter than the church. I thought what I believe mattered the most, you know, as a 27, 30 year old, whatever, thought I had it all figured out. And so that's your problem here. Don't know how old you are, but your thoughts are just infantile, right? And it's not one that reflects a person who's really trying to live a life with being humble and docile and really listen to what the church teaches. So I would say the first thing, that the problem is not what the church teaches. The problem is what you're teaching yourself, right? That's you think you got to figure it out. And there's two types of people in this world. And so there's the humble and those who are about to be humble, right? So it'd be better that if you would be if you would be the former rather than the latter, because the latter is a much harder path, right? And it leads to hell. So, and I would say lastly, right? I don't know about this whole cult of Dagon, right? I don't know, you're talking about the symbolism in all this stuff, but all that's subjective, not objective. Anybody can interpret things any type of way. But here's the thing that I think you missed out as being raised in the faith, as you say, right? And shame on your parents, who did not teach you about the Holy Eucharist, who may have taught you, but whatever, the gift of faith was not given to you or whatever the problem is there. This is the only reason I find to be Catholic. It's not the symbols. It's not the hypocrisy found in human beings. The only real reason I find to be Catholic is the Holy Eucharist. The Holy Eucharist, which is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's the fulfillment of the Passover meal that we find in Exodus. And when God says, he tells the Jews to celebrate the Exodus, eat the lamb forever. He gives a perpetual command forever, a forever command. Jesus fulfills that in himself when he becomes a lamb that we eat, right? So, and that's what we call the Holy Eucharist today, which is truly the body and blood of Jesus Christ. This is something you cannot find anywhere else in the entire universe, that you can eat God and become like God, right? So you completely missed the point. You completely missed everything. Of what you, the gift that you were given as a child, being raised in the faith, and you missed it. So shame on your parents for not instructing you, and shame on you for being smarter than the Catholic Church. So that's that one. I was gonna say, where you get the rigid Catholic t-shirts? Oh, just drop down. And you can see if you're on YouTube, you're watching on YouTube, you can see them below. If you're not on YouTube, just go to my website, davidlgray.info, and check them out there. Dale says they're making conspiracy theories involving the federal government. All of them are true. They are. They're going to say Gloria was supporting BLM, so listening when she started seeming to follow DC politics. Yeah, Gloria Purvis is a race baiter. All she talks about is race, right? And it's what she's pushing, really, just the whole victim mentality. And it's sad that she got caught up into that, right? But that's, she's just one of a million. So that's that. And Jim Frost says, then I stop listening to Tim in general when they start supporting, encouraging, getting a fetal cell using. Oh, they were supporting the jab. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I'm John Boy, my friend says, David, Pope Francis said he was doing the consecration because the Bishop's Creed asked them to. Do you see a problem with that? I do. I don't really see a problem historically. I mean, we could think about, what was that Pope? I think it was one of the Benedicts who wrote Privatus Romarum. He's a Pope that followed Clement the 12th. So Clement the 12th, he writes an encyclical in enmity condemning Freemasonry, right? And so the next Pope, man, I'm sorry, I can't recall his name, but, and so he didn't really write on Freemasonry for like a lot of years. And then rumors started circulating around that he was actually the reason why he didn't write about Freemasonry, because he was a Freemason himself and his cardinals. So there's a lot of accusations going on. So, but then what happened, the reason why he finally gets around to writing from the province of Rome is that the monarchs of Spain, and there's another monarchy that was really pushing on him, pressing against him to say something about the condemnation against Freemasonry, because they were being infiltrated in those countries and they really needed a Pope support. So they kept pressing him and pressing up on him, say something, do something. And so this is the only reason why he ever writes Privatus Romanum, because he was being pressed upon. So I don't have any issues there historically with a Pope being asked by his brother bishops to do something, say something, because I don't think oftentimes popes are smart enough, or I think popes need help, right? And I more so congratulate Francis for actually listening to somebody other than Supich in this instance, right? And actually doing something other than what Supich says he should do. So I don't have a problem there. But, you know, like I said, I'm in a wait-and-see mode. We'll see what all comes about from this whole thing. So, but that's all I know about that for now. So, yeah, sorry about the tech difficulties. Tomorrow I'll be back same time in the morning. And we'll hop back into the whole gender dysphoria thing. But thanks for tuning in to the first morning show, the David L. Gray Show, Off Code and Unscripted. And I will see you next time.
Hey there. Thanks for watching the video. Please like, subscribe, and share. And visit me at davidlgray.info to check out the Catholic theology courses I'm teaching there to adults and to homeschool students. But most of all, remember, to get to confession and get to Mass as often as possible, and to make your life a type of liturgy at a Mass. But until then, and until next time, blessings and shalom to you and to yours.